T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. What a weekend of sports from all over the world. There was the PGA. There was F1. I got stuck watching French Open on my TV, Maggie. Pretty unbelievable. I'm now a clay court expert. It was a diverse weekend that you get in May. I feel like there's so much going on. Like it's hard to keep track. Especially, I have soccer friends, and I know we'll get to it later, but our buddy Stu on the other side of the glass, Maggie, he's just down in the... It's not the same Stu because he's a Liverpool fan. He's just been, like, despondent all day. It looks like a puppy who just, basically, I want to put a cone on Stu so he doesn't bite himself. He looks like a sad puppy, Maggie. You're glad you're not here about it.
Don't scratch out those stitches, buddy. You're going to heal up nice and good. For people who don't know, we're talking about those big stuff happening in the Premier League, and so we'll get to that a little bit later on. But Perloff, when you said this was a big weekend, you kind of took a pause, and I was going to say this was a big sports weekend for meltdowns.
Yes.
There were just meltdowns, crushing, and Stu's Liverpool team probably deserves to be in that category. But we just have to go through some of the biggest meltdowns of the weekend, because they were happening right before
yes.
our eyes. And we got to start with, you mentioned it, the PGA. Mito Pereira, never heard of him really before this weekend. He's a 27-year-old golfer from Chile. So casual golf fans might not be so, you know, averse or up to speed on Mito's golf career. But yeah. We all know him now because he took a 3-shot lead into Sunday's final round at the PGA, and let's hear how his final tee shot on 18, Perloff, where he had a 1-stroke lead going into the final hole at the PGA, spoiler alert, turned into a double bogey, and it was just bad from the start. Let's hear it.
This is a strange follow-through. I mean, that is a frightening follow-through. Never got above waist high on the follow-through. It's the fourth ball in the water today off the tee at 18. That was just...
Hammer that driver, baby!
There's nerves when it all feels completely different. Now, how do you make a 5 out of this?
Jim Nance and Nick Faldo just couldn't hide it, Perloff. And it was like that tee shot was like, you know, I know he's having a great season now, but there used to be some swings from Giancarlo Stanton that you used to be like, what are you waving at? It looked like a bad Giancarlo Stanton swing at the plate. It was awful. And he ends up landing in the water, which is funny because there wasn't even like water on this hole. It basically landed in a creek where the water was like, it was the smallest little body of water. It was like a bird bath, and somehow his ball found this hazard. It was epic meltdown.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I came into the day saying M. Pereira is winning the PGA. I thought it was Mike Pereira, the officiating rules expert, and I know, like, he's a versatile man. I thought Pereira, Dean Blandino in the top three. So that I, like you said, I'd never heard of Mito Pereira. So now I have. I feel terrible. I just put myself in those golfers' shoes, and I just can't help but feel bad. It's one, for me, I find it harder to watch something like that, Maggie, than anything in sports. Just an individual, because when it's an individual sport, it's all on you. There's no blame to go around. Oh, it is the worst. And somebody who is mentally soft in athletics, I think I would panic too. I can relate to that. I don't know. Do you think you could handle that kind of pressure?
Wait, hold on. The last segment, we found out that you would be a diva wide receiver complaining about a quarterback that ran too much and didn't get you the football if you were a wide receiver. And now you're also calling yourself mentally soft.
Honestly,
what a joy you are.
I tell you, golf is one of the hardest sports because you're staring at the ball. I have a hard time with golf. I need to move around and get out of my head, and play basketball or something like that, or football. Golf, because once you get your head involved in something, Maggie, you know what I'm talking about, any kind of sports, once you get your head involved, it does nothing but bad things. And I understand that, too. He was talking about the anxiety in his body. I would feel that in golf. I felt that watching on TV. I could almost feel my cortisol levels rising. What kind of rare athlete does it take not to feel that kind of pressure? I think those people are more the exceptions than Mito Pereira.
He even said, I thought the most nervous I was ever going to feel was on Monday, and then Tuesday happened, and then Wednesday happened, and Thursday. I love this guy because he just admitted this was just the most torturous week he's ever had in his entire life. And that I totally identify with. But does it make me a bad person if I kind of I don't like watching someone melt down, but there is this sort of, I'm not rooting for it, Perloff, but there is this sort of train wreck, I can't look away type thing. Does that make me the bad guy here?
Yeah, kind of, pretty much.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, no.
No, I understand. No, there's definitely, I didn't say it wasn't entertaining. I just want to be clear.
and then on the flip side, you had Justin Thomas, who was 7 strokes off the lead to start Sunday, and he ends up winning a 3-hole playoff against Will Zalatoris, who I always joke sounds like my junior prom date. It sounds like I went to the junior prom with Will Zalatoris. But
yeah.
He ends up coming back and winning, and just because it was in the news so much, we talked to Alan Shipnuck last week, who's got this new Phil Mickelson biography that he's written that has all this explosive stuff in it. The caddy who was on the bag for Justin Thomas is none other than Bones McKay, Phil Mickelson's longtime caddy, who's now with Justin Thomas, is his first golfer that he's working with since he broke up with Mickelson. So that was just it had everything. A little bit of everything yesterday.
Oh, it was great. By the way, don't feel bad for Mito Pereira. I love this. One of my favorite exercises, when I feel bad for these golfers, he's basically a tour rookie. He's already made $2.7 million in his career. He's just beginning. He's 27 years old. He's going to make $60 million playing golf. He's fine. This was a bad meltdown, but he's going to be fine. So I just wanted anybody who was worried about Mito, then just he'll be fine. He's okay.
We hope. It was only his second major. Okay, the epic meltdown from the weekend. I think this applies. I'm going Celtics game 3, Perloff, Saturday night. You know, when Jimmy Butler left that game, a combination of Jimmy Butler doesn't play the entire second half for the Heat, and then Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum both have to leave the court at one time, and they triumphantly return Willis Reed style. More Marcus Smart than Tatum, I guess, for the Willis Reed comparison, I guess. I know he got a lot of Paul Pierce comparisons. We'll get to that in a second. But I would have bet my life that the Celtics were going to come back and win that game. Without Butler for Miami and the emotional boost that they were getting from their stars returning, at one point they cut it to 1, and Max Strus, with 2.5 minutes left of all people, basically buried the Celtics with a 3. Bam Adebayo had an unbelievable game. He then follows it up with a jump shot that basically just hits as the shot clock's running out, and the Celtics get buried. That felt like a collapse from the Celtics.
Yeah, I can't get there because obviously it's a little weird because they were getting destroyed. They were down 26 in the first half. They were down most of the second half. I think they came in the fourth quarter down 15. So is it a collapse? How can it be a collapse and also a potential all-time comeback? The two of those feel right.
Is it a choke job, not a collapse? You're right, because they were trailing most of the game.
No, I don't think you could call it a choke job when you're making this heroic comeback that falls short. It doesn't feel to me like that's the same as a choke job because they need to spend every bullet they had to get back into that game. And they got all sorts of lucky shots by Jaylen Brown to even get back to that point. I mean, if the Heat had lost, that would have been a bigger choke than what the Celtics did, right?
See, I don't see it that way. I thought the Celtics were, quote-unquote, supposed to win that game. You've got the home court.
Yeah.
You get your stars back. I know Tatum was like not the same after his injury and the Peyton he came back. He only left for like 2 minutes, but when he came back, he didn't seem like he was all that, you know, himself. But I thought the emotional boost there, the home crowd was super into it. Like, the Celtics, I think, are slightly the better team, especially when the Heat don't have Butler. I sound like a broken record right now, but I thought that was a game that obviously the Celtics should have won. And the fact that they couldn't complete the comeback felt like it was more on the Celtics than on the Heat for staving them off.
Yeah, but I mean, if the Heat had blown a 26-point lead, like, that would have been in the history books. That never happened.
Oh my God, 26-point leads, Perloff, those disappear all the time. 3-point balls, these 26-point leads are not safe.
I think they were up 15 with like 7 minutes left, and they were up a huge amount. You know, they basically missed every shot for the entire fourth quarter until finally something had to go in. I mean, just a general nature of physics, like a basketball had to go in the basket. I didn't think so. I mean, the Heat were the better team coming. You knew like 5 minutes in. I thought the Celtics were going to pull their starters. That's how close that like they came to just being a complete blowout. So I didn't feel like the Celtics blew it. I think Tatum, I don't know what happened. I've never seen more lazy turnovers in a series of any level of basketball that I can ever remember. They're just throwing it to the Heat, and it's as if he doesn't care. Why is he doing this particular thing?
I don't know, but Jaylen Brown was also turning the ball over, and it was like, sometimes I'm like, are you guys like colorblind? Can you not see, you know, the color of the jersey? The lazy passes, or I guess if you want to credit the Heat for the tenacious defense, but it felt more just like lazy passes to have that kind of a melt. See, that is a meltdown. I'm officially putting this as a meltdown because those were awful passes and they were not ready to play this game. The Heat came out in the first 2 minutes of the game, Perloff, and took it to the Celtics, and then it was like on from there. And the fact that the Celtics couldn't wrestle it back even when the Heat's best player went out, I thought was atrocious.
Well, I mean, you mean Jimmy Butler. I thought you were talking about it. Like, Max Strus lasted the whole game. What are you talking about? Well,
yeah,
also,
Bam Adebayo was there.
Okay. We've been watching the Heat all postseason. Where did that Bam Adebayo come from? Like, what, did he pull a time machine from 2020 and came back? Because we haven't seen that player in the longest time. That's why the Heat are the most confounding team in this playoffs. Every single game, you're going to get a completely different Miami Heat team. Bam Adebayo has not played 80% of the game he played on the other night. So it's still surprising to me. But yeah, I feel like if the Heat had lost that, that would have been a real problem. I mean, yes, they would have. I mean, it's not like when Marcus Smart got hurt, that game was over. If Smart hadn't come back, I don't know if the Celtics would have even gotten it within 20. I mean, by the way, Marcus Smart, I don't know what. He's just so tough. He's so the heart of that team.
Came back, hit a three. It was massive. Final meltdown we've got to talk about from the weekend. And this is a Mike Sampter special. Our producer found this one. We had no idea. And if you know where Northwestern State University
Northeastern
is,
State.
Pardon me. Northeastern State University. If you know where that is, we will send you a signed headshot of Maggie and Perloff that you can hang in your foyer, because we had 15 guesses and could not figure out where this place is. Meanwhile, they had a baseball game over the weekend, and it ended with an epic meltdown. You got to hear it.
That one hit high and deep by Blaze Brothers. It's back. It's at the wall. The left fielder can't make the catch. Rounding third base is the runner. The second. Blaze runs into the umpire. Coming into second base, sliding and safe. No, he called him out. Are you kidding me? The umpire got in Blaze Brothers' way. That's the way the ball game ends? Joke. This is a joke.
All right, Sampter, take us through the details there, because that was a lot going on in that play-by-play.
So this was the NCAA Division II Central Region in the postseason. And the Northeastern State Riverhawks were playing the Henderson State Reddies. It was 11-7 with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. He hit a bases-clearing bomb to the wall. Should have been a double or even a triple, with their best hitter at the plate with a chance to tie it. He ran into the ump. The ump was standing in the base path. So he ran into the ump, and then he tried to continue on to second, but didn't make it, was called out. But there was no ump interference. There was no other kind of issue. They just called him out because he was tagged out at second, even though the umpire got in the way. So this is the end of these players' season. A lot of these seniors, their career was over. This was their last game of their careers in this playoff game. It was unbelievable. And then you see afterwards for like 5 minutes, the Henderson State team is like shaking hands in the outfield as they're kind of figuring out what's happening. And the coach of Northeastern State is going ballistic. I mean, Lou Piniella, Tommy Lasorda rolled into one, kicking hats, dirt, throwing things, grabbing bases, epic type of meltdown. But there's nobody, the game's over. There's nobody to listen to him. He's just doing this in the middle of the diamond, everyone's shaking hands and walking off the field, and he's just going nuts. It's absolutely epic.
I'm a little confused. Okay. So it was not a home run.
No, it was like a deep bomb to the wall, like gapper.
Okay, and he would have made the second. So basically,
he probably would have made it to third had he not hit the umpire.
So when he hit the umpire, did he fall like a sack of potatoes?
Sack of potatoes. So the umpire just knocked him over.
So why didn't he run back to first? It was too late for that.
He was like midway through the base path, I guess. Could he have gone back to first? Yes, but it was such a long shot. He probably could have gotten a triple out of it. But by the time he got up and tried to get to second, he was out.
But okay, if he'd gone back to first, they would have
won
the game.
He would have been the game tying run.
He would have been the game tying run. And the coolest part, maybe not the coolest part, but the most interesting part, the guy's name was Blaze Brothers, the guy who hit the shot and got knocked over by the ump. Blaze Brothers, heck of a name.
Yeah, that's one of those names where, like, that's like if you name your kid Blaze, like, how many jobs can that guy really have?
Yeah.
You know, like, how many cardiologists are named Blaze?
A CBD salesman?
You could either be
like, I don't know, Formula One driver. Maybe you could be like someone on some kind of rodeo tour. I don't know what else you could be. I doubt you're going to be a CPA.
Wait, one more question. Why didn't he just step? What was the umpire? How did he run into the umpire? Was the umpire moving? He must have been moving, because if the umpire was stationary, Blaze could have just ran around him.
I mean, he was rounding first base, watching the ball and trying
He's watching the ball. And the umpire.
And the umpire was just right there in the base path, though. Like, not where an umpire is supposed to be standing.
He just, like, set a pick, basically.
He basically just stood right in base path of anybody who would be walking or running down to second.
If you're running from first to second, how come Blaze didn't see the umpire in the base path?
Well, I mean, listen, you're not the most athletic guy. I don't know how much baseball you play. But when you hit a bomb into the alleys and you're rounding first base, you take a wide angle around first base and you turn. You're not looking at the base path to see who's there. You're looking at the ball, seeing, okay, how far can I make it? Do I stop at first? Do I go to second? You're kind of going in coordination with your first base coach, so you're watching the ball.
All right. Feels like you're an elite athlete. You might be able to avoid the 275-pound umpire in the middle of the base pass, but I guess not.
Where's your peripheral? So did we figure out where Northeastern State University is? Everyone want to go around and have a guess here? I'm assuming, I thought it'd be someplace in the Northeast, but the accent of the person who was calling the play-by-play there did not sound like Northeastern. It did not sound like a Northeastern accent.
By the way, this is not where Reggie Lewis went to college, right? That's something completely different.
I don't know.
That's in Boston, right? Northeast University?
Northeastern.
Oh, yeah, Reggie Lewis went to Northeastern.
And what's this called?
This is Northeastern State.
This is Northeastern State.
Northeastern State. Got it. Okay.
So of course, it has to be a state in the Northeast.
Well, there's only,
right?
There's two states that have every college in the world. It's got to be either Louisiana or Oklahoma, right?
It's
Louisiana, right?
You're close. It's Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah.
Wow.
Because that's 90% of the directional schools are in those two states. And Michigan's got a million of them.
But how is it Northeastern when you're in the Midwest? Makes no sense.
Must be in that corner pocket right there in the state of Oklahoma.
I mean,
but we learned something here.
Northeastern University in Boston makes sense, but not Northeastern State in Oklahoma. I'm confused.
Well, is it? Yeah, isn't there? Does Louisiana have a Northeastern State too, or am I making it up?
Well, it was like when we were confused with Jacksonville State being in Alabama, but Jacksonville University being in Florida. Like, none of these things make any sense. And how is Kansas City both in Missouri and Kansas? All right, geography over.
All right. Well, I'm glad we did that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Well, if you thought Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher was over, it's not. Jimbo has continued the fight, this time taking on a local reporter from San Antonio. Yes, it's just as ridiculous as how I'm describing it, and you are going to hear it next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Don't miss it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. We're an hour 20 minutes in, Maggie. We have not checked in on our friends down in the SEC, down in SEC country. What's the latest that is coming out? This Nick Saban versus the world, or Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher? What's the feud right now? I'm even having trouble keeping track.
I know. We got to like just check on taking the temperature of this feud like day by day. So kind of thought after Nick Saban issued his apology that maybe both sides would retreat to their corners a little bit, you know, and maybe let this thing breathe. But no, no. Jimbo Fisher is not letting this thing die. He wants to make sure everyone knows that Nick Saban was wrong in how he called out Texas A&M when he was speaking to those Birmingham small business owners. So Fisher was doing a sit-down interview for, I'll make sure I get this right, KSAT-12, with Greg Simmons. Now, this is local station in San Antonio. And this interview, Perloff, was so explosive that they've turned it into a two-parter. Part one was last night. Part two is going to air tonight. So let's just give the little appetizer before we get to the real stuff. And this is Cut 16 Stew. Jimbo Fisher talking about Saban's accusations that Texas A&M, quote-unquote, bought their recruiting class. Jimbo first wanted to set the stage and just clear that up again.
Let's of the 11 guys we have in placing that came early, one guy has an NIL deal.
Really?
Yes.
Just one?
Just one. So all these stories you're hearing are complete lies. I went and checked with our compliance people because we have nothing to do with it. One guy.
Of the 11?
Yes. The early enrollees.
Gotcha. So that said, what is all this dust up about then?
Great point.
Okay. So that was Jimbo setting the table here for just how this interview. You can tell he's still a little fired up about everything that's going on. So as the interview continues, then it starts to get a little chippy between the two. Stu, let's play cut 18.
Does that change the...
anything. Because I know the truth, and I've always known the truth. So that's why...
Why would he make that accusation?
I have to ask him.
Again.
Just let me handle it.
Why would he make that accusation, though? If it's...
Why did you make that accusation?
I didn't make any accusations.
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Has he apologized to you at all?
No, we haven't talked.
And would you accept his public apology?
I said we're not talking.
But he publicly apologized. Do you accept that?
I didn't read it. I don't read social media.
Stu, can we just isolate where Jimbo yelling off camera to somebody, saying, let me handle it?
Just let me handle it.
Who is this brave person who's trying to stop Jimbo from going full Jimbo? And he just yells off stage, off camera, you can't see who it is, just let me handle it.
Just let me handle it.
Wow, that's something.
It's funny too, because like he wasn't saying anything so inflammatory that PR really had to get their nose in there, right? Like, did you guys hear anything that, like, if you're, what kind of crazy PR person would be talking into, like, we heard the PR person in both the quotes. What is going on here? Was this must have been a taped interview, right? But like,
it was taped. But here's the thing, yeah. Right? You want to talk about a crazy PR person? Like, I think that's a brave PR person, because think about it. It's not just him sitting down for this interview. It's the whole accumulation of like the last 48 hours before he sat down for this interview, and everything just keeps escalating and escalating. I think that PR person was trying to tell him, like, hey, let it go.
Just let me handle it.
Right, but yeah, totally. But I feel like that if a PR is going to interfere with an actual coach speaking, like, it's got to be like a big reason, right? Like, that coach is about to give away all the speeds. Like, Jimbo said this same thing five times now, that they didn't get deals, right? So, like, I'm not defending Jimbo because he was way over the top, but like, and even the first crowd, I was like, who is talking in the background? Are they telling Jimbo what to say there? It's bizarre. I mean, have you ever done an interview, Maggie? I'm curious, but you've done a lot of interviews where the PR person interceded. I'm sure it's happened to you.
Yes, absolutely. It's happened to me. It's happened to me when the PR person has interceded. It's happened when the PR person has tried to end the interview. It's happened to me a lot of times when the PR person after the fact gets right up in your face or gets really angry and yells and screams and makes all kind of threats. I mean, yeah, when you ask questions, and I never did anything that was over the line. It's just asking questions that were perfectly acceptable when you walk into the studio or whatever. I've had plenty of PR people get mad at me. That's just part of the job. But what I thought is, if you didn't know that Jimbo Fisher was sitting down for an interview and talking about name, image, and likeness, what do you think that "let me handle it"? What does that sound like to you?
It's
like
a dad
like building a fence and like his kid gets in the way or something. Like, it did. What does that "let me handle"? It's like his wife. You know, you're at Disney World. It's 100 degrees. You know, you're trying to figure out something with the tickets to Space Mountain.
Yeah.
He's just like, let me handle it.
Definitely. Just like, let me handle it.
Road trip related, like a flat tire. Oh, my God. Yeah, we've all had that dad voice.
That's definitely me talking to basically anybody when I'm talking to, like, customer service. Mm. We're trying to, like, return something that, like, maybe is broken, but not really. Let me handle it. I got this. But just
let me handle it.
Just for the record,
there's a let me handle it guy.
Oh, I'm definitely let me handle it. I'm also incapable of, like, speaking on the phone with customer service and having somebody else talk to me and feed me information. So if someone's trying to talk to me while I'm yelling at customer service, I've got to, like, I can only do one at a time. So let me handle it is more just like, I can't do what you're trying to tell me to do.
Just let me handle it.
But part of the thing I was going to say was, I've listened to, like, the whole 5 minutes of this interview, and the PR team multiple times, you heard in that first cut, multiple times, is just feeding him information or, like, responding to the question that the reporter... There was a back and forth multiple times with the PR team, Jimbo, and this reporter.
That's bizarre. Because, like, am I missing something? Is there any, like, is this an explosive area right here? Like, that's kind of standard stuff that Jimbo was saying right there.
I feel like there's been a lot of PR spin on this particular thing. As we heard from your old show with, you know, last week, how the SEC commissioner wouldn't even let Lane Kiffin come on the air, and they basically gave, like, a moratorium to all SEC coaches to speak or talk at all on any media whatsoever. So I feel like this has kind of been, like, this major SEC spin.
Well, what they should have done, I know this is not necessarily the realm of the PR person, but also Jimbo's, like, you know, he's all sweaty in this interview. Like, he looks so agitated. That is not generally the way you want to sit down for an interview. Like, when the subject is already agitated, as a reporter, you're like, all right, this is going to be like, this is going to not take much to get some really compelling tape here, a compelling sound. But, like, you don't want your, if you're PR, you don't want your boss sitting down looking as disheveled as Jimbo happened to look in this interview. He's sweating bullets, Perloff.
Is that partly on the TV people, though, to get him a little powder? I don't know how that works. Like, Aren't they supposed to help them not sweat?
No, local TV station. That's going to be like a BYOM, bring your own makeup
situation.
But I would
situation. Think college coaches know how to apply the makeup. I wouldn't put that on Jimbo. You know what's funny, too, about this whole NIL issue and this fight between Nick and Jimbo? There's clearly, this is like an entire battle over semantics. Yeah, there are 11 early enrollees. Only one has signed an NIL deal. How many have been promised an NIL deal out of those 11? And is there any proof or, like, we're talking about, this is just a welcome to another college sports hodgepodge of half information. And, like, that's why I think this PR person is fighting an uphill battle. Like, do we even care how many NIL deals there were? Like, is this whole thing getting ridiculous?
Well, I would say the other part, too, is a lot of people came out and came away from the Saban versus Jimbo last week saying Jimbo was the winner. I was one of those people. I thought Jimbo did he was totally off the rails, but he was so staunchly defending his program. He was speaking to the people he needed to speak to. And I thought he came out looking like, hey, I'm not going to back down to Saban. He's making these empty threats, telling people to look into Saban's past and, you know, all that stuff. But I thought that Jimbo was like a winner from last week, but now he's kind of looking like everyone else is starting to move on and Jimbo's not. And yeah. That's when you start to look a little bit like, you don't want to look like pathetic, you know? And I don't think he is a pathetic person, but so you don't want to look that way.
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect now, I think last week they probably didn't want him to do that press conference, and he probably shouldn't have done it. That 15-minute, just God, that he was talking about Nick Saban as God, and that probably was not a good idea. I think it's time to put the clamps down on Jimbo, don't you think? Like, if you're this
school...
Well,
that's what the PR was trying to do. That's why these brave people were trying to step in front of a Mack truck of Jimbo Fisher hurling down the road.
Yeah, but you don't yell on camera in the middle of the interview while the quote... Like, I'm sorry, like, and like you said, PR's interfered. Like, he can't be like, well, they're 11. No, it's 13. Like, at least there's some subtlety to it. I thought that was ridiculous. The whole thing's out of, like... I don't know. Now I'm wondering if A&M knows what they're doing down there.
Did anyone know these cameras were rolling? That's on.
Yeah, see.
That camera and microphone are on.
See, I think Nick, for all the hard time everybody gave him last week, he seems to usually know what he's doing. Like, maybe he mastered this whole thing. Maybe he was the Jedi here.
You know what? We always say that, you know, Saban is, there's a reason for everything he does, right? It's no accidents with Nick Saban. He knew he could wind up Jimbo Fisher, right? He asked to know that he could get under his skin. And maybe there was part of this where he said, if I wind this guy up, he's just going to self-destruct.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Saban was definitely doing something Machiavellian, to borrow your thing. Like, he was definitely pushing up the price at A&M. I don't know what he was doing. He was playing market economics. Yeah, and that PR, I'm telling you, Maggie, I think you and I disagree. I don't think PR is helping by yelling. At that point, you back out and let it roll. There's nothing you could do by throwing yourself in front of the moving truck. You're not helping the situation.
Let me handle it.
Just let me handle it.
Man, and we got a little slice, as you said, Jimbo on the road trip, Jimbo talking to customer service, Jimbo doing anything, Jimbo trying to fix the roof. We got a little slice of that. Oh, man. Well, part two is tonight, so I can't wait to hear what we're going to get from that. That's going to be fantastic. All right, who had the best story from the weekend? Perloff and I try to one-up each other next. It is Maggie and Perloff right here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Tons of sports going on this weekend. Of course, we had the PGA, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. But Maggie, I was able to turn my attention overseas a little bit. I was making, I think it's about time the show got a little more international in flavor. Does that make sense?
A little more like continental? What, you want us to be like spreading our wings a little bit more?
Yes. I feel like, you know, I don't know what our market infiltration in Europe is, but I think we need to worry about that. Actually, probably need to worry about our market infiltration in America. But I am ready to one-up you with some overseas tales of intrigue. I don't know how many stories you saw this weekend, but why don't we have a little one-upper contest?
Okay, so our Mondays, we like to do this, Perloff and I, a little friendly competition, like to one-up each other from stories for the weekend. I'm going to keep it right here at home, Perloff, right here, good old US of A. You know, you can take your international stories. Would you like to go first?
Okay, well, yeah, fine. If it's one-uppers, I was glued to the TV to watch the Premier League final day. And I was following all my friends on Twitter who are Liverpool fans, who are all ready to celebrate and then watch Man City come back and dash the hopes and dreams. They had this incredible comeback to score two goals to win the Premier League, breaking the heart of Stu Kovacs on the other side of the glass and all Liverpool fans. And honestly, Maggie, I didn't even really know this was coming. I just tripped on it on Sunday morning, and I had a great time. Because if you could cry on Twitter, I think Liverpool fans were actually crying on Twitter, if this is possible. It was wonderful.
And I feel, I think their patron saint is LeBron James, right? Isn't he a part owner of Liverpool? That LeBron probably wasn't taking that very well either. Although I would assume he probably would have, like, you know, been just working out all of his feelings on Twitter, as he seems to be doing lately. But I don't know about that. Stu, you're going to recover, bud? You all right?
Yeah, that was a tough one. I thought they had it, and, you know, 3 goals in 6 minutes for Man City was, that was a tough pill to swallow.
But you didn't expect anything coming into the day, right?
See, that's the thing. I didn't expect anything coming in because they had to lose and they weren't expected to lose. So I didn't expect it. But then when, you know, we were going through the game, I thought it was going to happen, and then it got snatched away from me.
By the way, and
nothing worse than the buildup right when you start believing. Oh,
and Liverpool fell immediately, was losing to Wolves as well, by the way. And I only find that interesting that there's a team called Wolves, which is awesome. And I'm totally rooting for it. It's such a great name.
Okay, well, back here in America, I'm going to one-up you on that story. Excuse me. No cough button here at home. So in game 3 on Saturday night, Celtics Heat, Marcus Smart made this triumphant return back on the court after turning his ankle. This is what it sounded like.
Boy, the way that ankle rolled over, you'd think he might not play for the rest of the series. This crowd's going to go crazy. They're showing it up on the big screen here. Marcus Smart's going to return. Shades of Paul Pierce. I don't know if Smart was in a wheelchair, but...
Okay, so Jeff Van Gundy goes, shades of Paul Pierce, and I was like, wait a minute. That Paul Pierce story is not what we thought that Paul Pierce story was. And we know that it wasn't what we thought because Paul Pierce told us it wasn't what we thought. Let's hear a little of Paul Pierce when he was still working for ESPN, covering the finals, and he finally came clean about the wheelchair story.
Paul here, 11 years ago today, wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I have a confession to make.
Whoa.
I just had to go to a bathroom.
Number one or number two? But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
It was something went down. I had to go. You were streaking?
Okay, hey, injuries.
That's it.
Did Jeff Van Gundy never hear that piece of audio that the Paul Pierce wheelchair game was because Paul Pierce may have pooped his pants? Perloff, this is not the triumphant return you want to be comparing to Paul Pierce.
No, I totally know what you're saying, but come on, when Marcus Smart ran up, you didn't immediately think of Paul Pierce? Although, at the time, we didn't know that was what happened with Paul Pierce. At the time, it seemed like a courageous comeback.
No, even Lamar Jackson. Do you remember when Lamar Jackson, when everyone thought that he was scurrying to the bathroom, you know, and that he wasn't actually injured, but he left the game because he, like, you know, had food poisoning or something? Even after the fact, Lamar Jackson defended himself saying, no, I was actually hurt. I'm not pulling a Paul Pierce. Like, this is ubiquitous in our society. Everyone knows Paul Pierce may have pooped himself. You cannot compare Marcus Smart's triumph to the Paul Pierce wheelchair game anymore.
Wow. Okay. So in the moment, but still, like, I totally see what you're saying. Like, logically, you can't, but emotionally, like, did it remind you a little bit of Paul Pierce? Like, they ran back and everyone went crazy. It was like, I felt like it was so similar in the style. And by the way, okay, can we just pull back? Why was Marcus Smart, like, he was screaming in agony and running at full speed 5 minutes later? What the heck was that all about? And why was Jason Tatum just faking a shoulder injury because he was playing so badly? I don't understand anything. Are they giving them shots in the back? Maggie, I want a book on what happened in game 3 because I do not understand any of it.
Man, I saw such a good tweet by our friend David Gardner who said, whoever the Celtics doctor is should be like the Surgeon General. Like, how are they healing these guys in 2 minutes and getting them back on the court? Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more. Okay, one up that story, Perloff. I got Paul Pierce pooping his pants. What do you have?
Okay, so I got stuck on NBC after the Premier League match. Totally stuck. Couldn't change the channel. Long story. So I'm watching a little French Open, little Coco Gauff, which was exciting. But I was introduced to Carlos Alcaraz. Now, does anyone of Sampter knows this? I did not know about this Carlos Alcaraz thing. And I heard John McEnroe say he is the next superstar in tennis. And if you don't know about him, then the tennis is in trouble because he is the next phenom. I had no idea there was someone named Carlos Alcaraz who is dominating the tennis world and is about to take over all these major titles. So now I'm in on Carlos Alcaraz, and I'm all in. The 18-year-old Spaniard, let's go.
Well, yeah, he's like basically is like blown through the top 10 in terms of like he took out. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I know you're doing the story, but he like took out like Nadal and Djokovic and like basically just took out everybody, and he's the new hot guy, and especially on clay, Spanish players. Oh, yeah. Perloff.
Yeah, he's definitely going to lose now. By the way.
Don't you now that you're on the bandwagon? Yeah, probably.
No, I'm betting.
That's how things tend to go for you.
I'm definitely betting heavy against him because all this hype is clearly like, you think Djokovic is not going to, you think he's not going to use this to his advantage? I totally see this as a setup by the tennis world. Nadal, too. We'll see. Okay, what's up
no,
for you?
This is the new guard. Okay, my next one, as you're doing the international one-uppers, I'm keeping it right here at home with our best export, who's going to be playing in Germany for an NFL game this upcoming season, but now in shorter amount of time is going to be playing on The Match, which is Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady versus Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. So last night in the TNT pregame show, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were both a guest on that show, and I thought Brady was very revealing. He was talking about when he played in The Match 2 and how nervous he got and how it manifested in his body. Let's hear it.
The Match 2 with Tiger and with Phil is really something special. So I remember getting over the tee box in that match. It was pouring rain. It was a medalist. The fairways are about this wide. And I looked down at the ball, and I couldn't feel my arms. I'm like, how am I going to hit the ball? I can't feel my freaking arms. And sure enough, I somehow found a way on the back nine to put some things together. But it's definitely a different challenge. I've never felt that on the football field.
How about that? Tom Brady, he was a guest on NBA on TNT, said he couldn't feel his arms stepping up to the tee box when he was doing the match. That's how nervous he was, Perloff.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with golf. Like, it's very hard, even for an elite athlete like Tom Brady. I feel like there's a huge possibility for embarrassment there. You know, you're at the tee in front of all those people. You can't do anything on the football field. If you miss a pass, it's like an interception. If you miss the ball, you're basically hitting it into the crowd 8 feet away. I get that nerves. I think golf is really terrifying. Would you be able to do that? Like, hit in front of people if you weren't, like, an expert?
God, no. I mean, no, of course not. And I wouldn't, you know, unfortunately, you saw the report. Sage Steele from ESPN got accidentally hit in the face by a John Rahm drive that went into the gallery. I mean, that really, like, she sent out a post that she's fine, but, like, emergency room, dentists, doctors, like, to reconstruct whatever happened there, that's got to be terrifying. No, I would not be good under those situations.
Yeah.
I'm what you call a practice player, Perloff. Yeah. I would be in practice, and I would be amazing. Then I go out to play the match, and it'd be not as awesome. Okay, do you have a final one real quick?
I'll just say, since I'm going all European, let's congratulate Max Verstappen with the Spain F1 win this weekend, because F1's all the rage, I guess, among certain circles here. So Max Verstappen comes away. What do you got? You got one more?
I did, but I'm going to have to save it because it's an audio accompanied, and we're not going to have enough time for me to play the full audio for you. But we'll get to that coming up in the next hour, because it was someone on CBS Sports Radio called me out.
Ooh.
So we're going to have to get to that in a little bit. I would say, who do you think won today? American one-uppers or international one-uppers? Mbappe.
I think the audience won, Maggie.
Yeah, let's go with that. Coming up next, Perloff and I tell you about a redemption story in the making. We've got that in just a moment. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.